Hello, my name is Tom Ealing. I am a scientist emeritus at NIEHS. I've been retired for, I guess, 2 years, not actually sure to tell you the truth. Came to NIEHS in July 1971. I was in the intramural research program, and it used to be called Laboratory of Molecular Carcinogenesis, but now they changed the name. It's not a cancer lab anymore. So I guess I've seen it all here.
Well, Tom, thank you for helping us with our history of NIEHS today. To get started, have you always been interested in science?
Okay, I've always been interested in science. Every time I can think back in my youth, I guess I've always been interested in science and basically how things work. And so I got interested early on in my life in different things. You know, I had my own little chemistry set and all this kind of stuff that you had back in those days.
And so tell me a little bit about your academic background.
When I went to high school, for example, I took all the science courses and things of that sort, you know, the biology and the chemistry and the physics and the math, and I was always interested in that. And then I got to the point where I was going to go to college, and I was undecided exactly what I wanted to do. But I had a relative of mine who was a pharmacist who said, well, if you go into pharmacy, there's a broad enough base that you can choose different careers. Like you could go into medicine, you could go into dentistry, you can go into basic science and things of that sort. So I did my degree in pharmacy. And when I got in there, I got interested in biochemistry. So I chose to do a PhD in biochemistry. And so I did that. And I had, of course, as my pharmacy background, I had always an interest in pharmacology and things like that because they're associated together. When I got my degree, I had a doctorate degree in biochemistry, but I had a minor degree in pharmacology.
And how did that lead into all of your research?
It all kind of ended up tying together. The biochemistry fit into the pharmacology and the whole thing kind of tied together into kind of a career, so to speak.
And what research are you pursuing now?
I think right now I'm just considering myself piddling around. Okay. But my research started here. I guess what I'm predominantly known is I worked on prostaglandins, which are the lipids that are inhibited, the formation of these lipids are inhibited by things like aspirin, indomethacin, you know, the NSAID things. And so most of my career has been working on those lipids and particularly how they relate to cancer because, you know, things like aspirin, there's evidence that aspirin reduces colorectal cancer. So I worked on that problem for a number of years. And then towards the end of my career, I actually found a protein. It was induced by NSAIDs, which we called NAG1. And it turned out that this protein has a lot of really interesting properties. It's a tumor inhibitor, but it's also a protein very much involved in controlling your metabolism. This protein, when you express it in mice, makes the mice leaner. They're resistant to obesity. So I spent probably the last 10 years of my career working on this protein. But actually, the most interesting stuff is the later stuff with the NAG1, I think, because it has the drug companies are very interested in that protein. So there's a lot of pharmaceutical interest in developing drugs based on this protein.
So that's how this all ties into human health.
Yeah, that's how it ties into human health. And it turned out that this protein is a survival protein in that, again, the mice that we made that express this protein live a lot longer than the corresponding wild type. And so the protein probably is a survival protein of some sort, but it's not clear what's going on.
And is there one discovery that you made that was most surprising?
I think the latest thing with the NAG was kind of like purely by accident. You know, we did an experiment to look for changes in protein expression and found this protein is not what we were expecting at all. And we thought it was an anti-tumorigenic protein. And it turned out it's anti-tumorigenic, but what it's really doing is something completely different. So it was a big surprise was we made the mice, they turned out to be so much leaner, but we never expected that.
Over the next few years, what sort of scientific advances would you like to see?
Well, I think there's lots of things. With the prostaglandin field, I think that's more of a mature field. It's still not exactly clear what is going on with its role in cancer. There's a lot of data, but it's still not totally resolved. And then I think this problem with the NAG1 is it's in its infancy, and they need to really figure out what's really going on here because it has a kind of like paradoxical biological effects. And it's really not clear. For example, the receptor's never ever been characterized. There's a lot of things that need to be done to really solve the problem.
So what brought you to NIEHS?
Well, see, I did my postdoc for a guy by the name of Jim Fouts at Iowa. This was a drug metabolism place, and he moved here and started a whole program here. And I got back to the University of Cincinnati and didn't like it. So I one day called him up and said, if you see a job, let me know. I'd like to get out of here. Well, the next thing I know, I was on a plane to research Triangle Park. And next thing I knew, I was being hired as a tenure track appointment back in the old days when there was really jobs out there. So that's how I got here.
Tell us one attribute that's important for every scientist.
Well, I think the most important one is curiosity. You gotta be curious. And then you got to have persistence because things don't work out. You got those two things.
And if you hadn't become a scientist, what career would you have pursued?
I'd have probably ended up in medicine.
And do you have any advice for young people who are interested in a career in science?
Well, today, science is not the lucrative career that it was when I started out. And when I finished my postdoc, I had the choice of many jobs. Nowadays, it's the other way around. These people apply for hundreds and maybe never, ever get a job, or they end up doing something they really don't want to do. So my advice to them is to think very carefully what you're going to do if you're going to get into science, and what is your career goals? What are you going to end up doing? Is what you're doing going to end up giving you a position? Because there's a raft of people. There's just too many people out there looking for jobs, so it's a very difficult thing. So they got to be very careful what they do. I think that this funding is pretty high, but the problem is they've overtrained so vastly. Like used to be, they were looking for people. Now I'd say there's probably every job that's open, there's probably 100 people looking for it.